From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. An alleged plot to bomb National Guard centers, the Israeli consulate in Los Angeles, and other sites in Southern California is under investigation this morning. The LA Times reports that counterterrorism officials are looking into a possibility the alleged plot was developed by Islamic extremists and gang members in a state prison near Sacramento. Governor Schwarzenegger has proposed sweeping new laws aimed at restricting sex offenders. Among other things, the governor wants tens of thousands of paroled violators to wear satellite tracking devices for the rest of their lives. Democrats call it political grandstanding. And another day, another record for California gas prices. The AAA says the average price for a gallon of gas in California is now $2.77, up 82 cents since the start of the year. The LA County Board of Supervisors yesterday moved toward adopting a plan to radically downsize the troubled King Drew Medical Center. The South Los Angeles Hospital plays a crucial community role by serving a mostly low-income population. But many patients have died there from medical mistakes and neglect, and the county's been struggling to reform it. John Raby of KPCC in Los Angeles reports.
The supervisors' meeting began with Health Chief Tom Garthwaite's PowerPoint presentation on King Drew's dicey future.
This slide represents the fact that we are now in August. We have essentially one semester here to get all the learning and teaching done and pass the exam. If we meet conditions, all is good. If we don't, then they would withdraw funding.
Garthwaite was talking about three inspections coming this December, including one by the agency that approves the $200 million King Drew gets every year from the federal government. Losing that money would probably force the county to close the hospital. Garthwaite wants to close inpatient pediatrics and obstetrics and outsource a host of departments, including radiology, intensive care, and even ER doctors. But he would add outpatient services for problems that plague South LA, like diabetes, high blood pressure, and cancer. He says his plan would make King Drew less complicated, increasing its chances of passing inspection, and won't hurt South LA's residents. Congresswoman Diane Watson was just one of dozens of people who spoke out against him.
Don't close it. Don't shrink it. Don't hack it up. Don't starve it of resources. Don't drain it of its professional talent. Don't hand it over to strangers. Don't pass the buck.
After the hearing, Supervisor Gloria Molina pushed to delay the vote.
You keep asking me to eliminate services without creating a mechanism that I can trust is going to start assuring myself, this community, that we are on a pathway to making the corrections.
But Molina's motion to delay failed, and Supervisors Don Kanabi, Mike Antonovich, and Zev Yaroslavsky voted to schedule the hearing state law requires to make cuts at King Drew. But Yaroslavsky said cuts are not a foregone conclusion.
First of all, we have not made up our mind, and I think that's very important to restate. I think you heard it from Mr. Kanabi, you heard it from Mr. Antonovich, and certainly you'll hear it from me. What we don't want to do is foreclose the option.
The hearing is in October. In the meantime, they say they'll continue to consider alternatives to downsizing King Drew. For the California Report, I'm John Raby in Los Angeles.
The electronics industry and privacy advocates are expected to face off at the state capitol today. Legislation before an assembly committee would require tough privacy protections for controversial technology known as radio frequency identification, or RFID. These identification chips can be read with radio waves and could have many future uses, like embedding them in driver's licenses to provide background information about the drivers. SciMusica reports.
State Senator Joe Simidian finds himself in an awkward position. The American Electronics Association once named him its Legislator of the Year, but he's troubled by privacy concerns surrounding RFIDs, a technology touted by industries in his own Silicon Valley district. What if, Simidian asks, the state issued driver's licenses with RFIDs and a zealous law enforcement official set up a card reader at the door to an anti-war meeting?
Or if your politics were a little different, imagine that you'd been to a gun show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. How would you feel if you discovered later on that the police were also able to skim or read the identity of 2,500 people who walked into a perfectly legal gun show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds?
Simidian notes the State Department has delayed use of RFID chips and passports, at least until it can protect the chip from illicit reading by powerful devices that can skim information from up to half a block away.
Part of the problem with this technology is you don't know when there's been a breach. If you get mugged on the street, you know it, and you can take some action to protect yourself. But if somebody uses radio waves to steal your personal information, you don't see it, you don't hear it, you don't know it, and you're at risk.
That's inspired one feature of Simidian's bill. SB 682 would make it illegal to read someone's personal information without their knowledge or consent. The bill would also impose a 3-year moratorium on use of the technology by state or local government. SB 682's won support from women's groups, the ACLU, even conservatives worried about privacy issues. But the RFID industry is fighting back.
It's demonizing a technology when it's actually the best possible way to protect that information.
Roxanne Gould is a vice president and lobbyist with the AEA, the American Electronics Association. Gould says warnings of security risks are overblown.
This technology has been in existence for more than a decade. There are 200 million cardholders out there today, 200 million worldwide.
Estimates for the eventual size of the RFID market range from $2 to $6 billion in the next 5 years. That growth might slow if states restrict the technology. The industry is especially concerned about SB 682's requirement for strong encryption for all state and local IDs. Gould says that's appropriate for some applications, but not a city library card or Capitol building pass. And Gould says such high standards will cost state taxpayers.
A building today that has 15 entrances, today those readers cost $100,000. With the technology that they're requiring, the privacy levels are requiring on this bill, it's going to raise it to more than $1 million.
Those objections are both silly and disingenuous.
Joe Simidian.
I've been working with the industry for 5 months. I've amended the bill significantly. We have yet to get the industry to say, here's something we could really live with that provided meaningful privacy protections.
Simidian notes he's grandfathered in a long list of exemptions from the RFID moratorium, from IDs for state and county prisoners to those for patients in hospitals. Simidian and industry groups will continue the RFID debate before an Assembly Appropriations Committee today. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, August 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for coverage of healthcare in California, the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family, online at farmwater.org. And TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org.